Greetings, fellow traveler. As humanity awakens and evolves, we see change in every aspect of our lives. Let's consciously manifest our desires. I am Candace Craw Goldman, and this is New Earth Journey.
Welcome. This is September 29th, 2015, and we're nearly at the end of a very auspicious month. And I'm guessing if you are listening live, you've had an interesting month as well. And it's been especially interesting this last week with the gateways and the eclipse. So thank you for joining me. Tonight's show is going to be a really interesting one. I'm welcoming a friend and a colleague who lives in the state of Rhode Island. Elizabeth DeRocher is a shaman, a spiritual healer, an author, a Reiki master, a teacher, a master healer of Shambhala, 13D multidimensional healing. She's a certified QHHT practitioner, which is, of course, how I know her. And she's also certified in the art and science of clinical hypnosis. She's an NLP practitioner, a biofeedback specialist. And she's a teacher of healers, a gifted visionary with a unique ability to create wellness and joy with each person she works with. I've had the great pleasure of spending some time with Elizabeth in person in Arkansas during some QHHT training. And I'd like to mention that she's a person of great integrity and has a very large heart. And I am so happy that she's joining me tonight on New Earth Journey. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Oh, Candace, thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
You're such a sweetheart. You know, I know when we've been together in person, we've always sort of ended up sitting next to each other at tables and chatting away. And I just enjoy your company so much. And I'm looking forward to spending the next hour talking with you.
Likewise. Thank you. I thoroughly enjoy being with you also. We just have way too much fun, huh?
We really do. Well, what I'd like to do is, would you tell our listeners a little bit about, you know, your beginnings? You have a very interesting story that has to do with welding and how it is that you woke up and got into this kind of business. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that? Because it's really very unique.
Yeah, it does, the creator does put me in certain places, and it's really interesting. Well, about 20 years ago, well, maybe more than that, because I'm old now, I was working as a welder in the power plant. I actually became the first woman welder in all of New England Electric System back in the day. And it was about 20 years ago I was welding, and I fell and broke L4 and 5 vertebrae in my back. And it was at that time, I was out of work for 10 months, and doctors at Mass General couldn't help me. And they said, how about, you know, you think about before we do surgery, because that technique had not been perfected. So they asked me to go home, think about it for a couple of days, and get back to them. And when I came back home, I found a shaman. And I was like, what the heck is a shaman? I didn't know what a shaman was. And it was a friend who had introduced me, and she said, you need to see my friend. She's a shaman, and she's going to help you. And literally, in a one-hour session, this woman shook a rattle over me, sprayed some Florida water on me, and said, honey, can you get up? And I thought, this lady's nuts. I just about crawled into her office. And she said, I'll help you get up. And I'm looking around. I can move my body left and right. And I'm saying, she said, don't look too hard for the pain. And I got up and I said, lady, I don't know who you are, what you just did to me, but I got to learn that blank, 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 because I had a truck driver mouth just like the rest of the welders in the power plant. She said, honey, first you learn no vocabulary and then I will teach you.
So this lady ended up being your teacher.
She was my very first teacher, and now she's one of my very best friends.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth, Well, tell us a little bit about what that was like. Now that you, you know, teach this yourself, what happened to you on that table? What was it that she did that allowed you to get up and not have, you know, surgery facing you? How did that help? How did you receive healing from that?
Well, particularly that day, at that moment in time, the healing that she had done with me is something we call psychic surgery. When the human body has a traumatic issue, mm-hmm. The trauma gets locked into the cells. And I had, in a previous life, she identified that I had been speared with a lance, and she removed that spear. And because when I had fallen in this life, my mm-hmm. cells in my body remembered the trauma from a previous life. And that's how she went in and did her psychic surgery, which is a special technique. I can't tell you that on the phone. I have to show you in a class.
Did she tell you that then, like that day? Did she tell you all of this, or did you find that out later, or what?
Yes. Mm-hmm. No. She went into detail and told me what was going on, what happened. And she said, we don't typically like to tell people where the issue comes from, because if you have an affinity towards that issue, you're going to get locked into the story. And if you leave here and go home and start calling all your friends talking about the story as if it's something in the new soap opera, guess what? You're going to call it back to yourself.
Yeah.
So she said, but I know you're not going to talk about this again. And you know what? I haven't talked about it until just now. So
let's stop talking about that.
Okay. Well, I began studying with her and then her teachers, and then I ended up in Peru with their teachers. So I just couldn't get enough fast enough. It was wonderful.
Elizabeth, tell me, how did your family react to this? What kind of background did you come from? And when you said, you know, I'm going to learn this, I'm going to go to Peru, I'm going to start studying this, what was the reaction of those around you and your welding buddies at the power plant?
What were they saying? Well, it was huge, and not in a good way. My husband thought I fell and hit my head. My son was like, Mom, what are you doing? You know, they have drugs for that. You really need to go see a doctor. It was to the point where I sat my husband down. We had a very lengthy talk, and I said, I'm going to study shamanism. He said, okay, but if you get weird on me, I'm going to make you stop, okay? And it just kept getting weirder and weirder after that. But he's come to the place where I stopped trying to convince him of what I was doing was right. And I just did what I was told. I began communicating with the creator that gives us the breath of life. And that was the difference. I was raised Catholic Italian. Mm-hmm. And being raised a Catholic Italian, in our household, we prayed to God. We didn't have a conversation. God didn't talk to us unless you were special. He talked to the people in the Bible, but he didn't come down and talk to us. Well, when I started studying and I learned that, no, God talks to everyone. You know, I have a niece. She calls it energy. Your energy is my God. I just happen to call it God. But it's all the same thing. It's the creator that gives us the breath of life. And so when I learned to have communication with that, I just started doing my work. Every morning I was on my knees in prayer, doing my meditations. I didn't talk about it anymore. I stopped talking about it. And this is where the respect came in with the family, because the family began seeing people come. They would come to the house one at a time. They would come with their heads down, all upset and sad, and they would leave with a pep in their step. And it was these things that, you know, people could see them. So my husband sat down with me, and he has a great respect for this work now. And we open our doors. I bring the shamans here to our home every year. And basically, my house is their house when they come. And my husband just moves aside and says whatever they need. So it's really been wonderful.
That's really, really terrific. That's really great news. Well, then, how did all of this bring you to where I got to meet you, where you first discovered Dolores Cannon and QHHT? How did you move into this realm and work?
Well, I had been, I'll tell you, the first 10 years of studying shamanism, the money went out the window. I couldn't get enough fast enough. I studied with 2-3 teachers at a time. And it just was every workshop I would hear in the United States, I would, you know, fly to the workshops and then I'd fly to Peru and back and forth. So I had calmed down a little bit and I said, okay, now I needed to do my work. I'm doing my work at home. And I was teaching a class in Michigan. I met a woman at the American Society of Dowsers convention, because the Dowsers is a very good group too. And the Dowsers, you're able to get your answers easily when you're using a pendulum is one of the ways that you can get confirmation to get your yes and your no. And so I was at the Dowsers and I met this woman who invited me to teach her group in Michigan. So I'd been flying back and forth to Michigan, teaching this wonderful group. In fact, they just graduated recently with their 17 women. And so I was teaching the shaman class. And here at home, before I flew to Michigan, I kept hearing God would say, you need to go study with Dolores Cannon. And I'm like, yeah, all right, God, I'll do it next year. And God's like, no, you need to do it now because she's not going to be here much longer. And I'm like, oh my. So when I heard that, I got on the internet right away and I found out that she was actually teaching a class in Arkansas. And that I got my guidance and God was like, that's the class you need to go and you need to go now. Well, it was the week before I was teaching in Michigan. So I actually flew with all my bags that I have to teach with, and I took everything to Arkansas. And in fact, people who are in class were like, why do you have all those suitcases? You know? I was like, yeah, well, I'm teaching a class next week in Michigan. Well, isn't that kind of like back to back? And I'm really surprised, excited, and like to travel like that. I would do a little traveling and come home, and you know, I'm really a homebody. But I got out of the plans that year. So I began studying with Dolores, and that's how you and I met there at that very first class.
When was that class? Will you remind me? What year was that and when was that?
2012. Was that July of 2012?
Yeah. That was an amazing year too. Gosh, well, they're all amazing. But yeah, it was great to meet you there. And so then you just sort of started doing that right away. You started practicing QHHT?
Yeah, Dolores was amazing, and she still is. And because I'm certified in clinical hypnosis and I was doing guided meditations all the time, her QHHT technique was very natural for me. I was already having conversations with God, so I found God's guidance telling me what exactly to do, you know, do the cadence, and make sure the drone in the voice has a rhythm. And every client was dropping into the subconscious with each session, and it was amazing.
It's amazing how Dolores is still with us, isn't it?
Yes, I can hear her voice with almost every single session. Really, she's right here with the sessions. It's amazing how she can be at so many places at one time because I have friends that I'm still in contact with from that class, and they have the same thing happen. She's in all of our sessions.
Well, I guess when you move into the next realm, you can do more things. in more ways, and especially Dolores Cannon. I think she's really spread her wings, so to speak, now that she's on the other side. Elizabeth, why don't you tell us about, you know, a couple of your favorite sessions, your memorable sessions? I'd love to hear about them. Who showed up and what their issue was and what kind of experience they had and what kind of results. Tell us about some QHHT sessions you've had.
Well, one of my first sessions that I'll never forget, and we're going to call this woman Sharon.
Okay.
She came in with, you know, regular questions, and most of the time they want to ask, what's my purpose, and typical things. And so we had the session, and at the time where we contacted what Dolores Cannon would call her subconscious, that deep, deep synambulistic state of consciousness, so her subconscious is talking to me. Now, Sharon came in, and her voice was very quiet, and she spoke like this. She's a tiny little person, okay? And this subconscious came out with this distinct personality, like, much different than Sharon's. And she's like, she needs to do this. And I mean, it was very, very strong personality. So I'm listening and I'm doing everything according to what we're supposed to do. We have this, you know, all these details. I have all my notes and everything is exact. And I couldn't take it anymore. I had to like just open my mouth and I said, excuse me. And it says, yes. I said, do I have permission? May I have permission to ask a question, please, for myself? I said, yes, we would be obliged to answer your questions. I said, who are you? Are you Sharon's subconscious? Are you my subconscious speaking through Sharon? And it said, we are connected to the one creator you call God, and I am Sharon's soul speaking to you now. Well, Candace, I sat there, the floodgates open. I was crying like a babbling idiot.
Yep.
And I could not contain myself. I was sniffling and snorting. I lost it. And all of a sudden it says, attention, attention, Elizabeth, you must compose yourself at once. So
what was your client doing while all this was going on?
The client was just lying on the massage table. I'm having this conversation with the higher self. She was not present. She was in her happy place. And so after the session, when she, you know, the session was completed, I composed myself, took a few breaths, and they actually took over. I think Dolores might have been holding my hand through that one. Mm. And she got up and we talked. And in the post session where we are actually dialoguing, I explained to her what happened. And she said, I could hear you sniffling. I wondered what that was all about.
So did she receive the knowledge or the healing that she came for, Sharon?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. All the time. The subconscious will often adjust something that a person's doing to make it easier for them to understand. Like in this particular session with her, they guided her to meditate while she was walking because she can't sit still.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that one before.
Yeah. I haven't heard that with other ones. This was just with this woman here.
Mm-hmm. So many people say that, you know, do you have a lot of clients that say that? I know that I do. They walk in and they say, I just can't quiet my mind. I just can't quiet my mind. You know, listeners out there should know that it is, I would say 90 to 95% of people who come in, clients, and talk about meditation and meditating probably say that in some form or another. It's just very, very common. And it really doesn't mean that you're doing it wrong. What it means is you shouldn't just give it up, though, because it's just the way our minds work. And if your mind is busy like that, you just let the thoughts sort of go like clouds passing you by in a sky, but you don't give up. That's right. The key is you just let the thoughts come and go, but you don't give up. And some people, when they see the thoughts coming in, they just shrug their shoulders and say, forget it, I can't do this. And that's kind of the place where, you know, perhaps you need to think about it in a different way.
Yeah.
So tell us about another session you might have had. Anything else? Any other?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not nice to have favorites, but I do have favorites.
Oh, I have my favorites.
This was a young, I have a young girl. She was 17 years old. And in January, her mom called me because I had helped her sister. And so the mom calls and tells me about her daughter. She said, you've got to help my daughter. And we go through the routine and I ask, you know, what's going on? And she explains to me that this young girl is out of school for 8 years when she had a panic attack. And doctors medicated her. She was on 3 meds, antidepressants, antipsychotic drugs, and anti-anxiety pills. And I was just hearing Dolores say, absolutely not. Don't work with anyone who has mind-altering medication because they won't be able to go in. And, you know, just stay away from anybody with that kind of medication. And I was just about to say that. and tell her, no, I'm really sorry, I can't do that. And I heard loud and clear, my God saying to me, you must work with her. And I'm like, what? No, but Dolores says no. I'm doing this in my mind. And I heard it again, you must work with her. So I said to the woman, I got to put you on hold. And I put the phone on hold and I'm having a conversation with God. And God's saying, you must work with this girl. So I come back to the phone and I said, listen, my teacher strongly advises not to work with anyone on mind-altering, medication. But I'm going to tell you, I'm strongly getting that I need to work with her. So I promise I will do my best. I can't make promises saying that what will come in the outcome, but I promise I will do my best. Well, the young girl comes into the room and I meet her. She wouldn't even make eye contact, wouldn't even look me in the eyes. And I thought, oh God, how am I going to build rapport with this girl who won't even look at me? And we had a little conversation, and everything I asked her, she said, She didn't give me any information at all. She had basically, I don't care. She didn't care what questions we asked or anything. So I said, well, why don't we just play a game? I said, I'm going to be asking you some questions, and you just pretend with me. Can we just pretend for a little bit just to see if it works? Because I'm not sure this is going to work, so let's just pretend. And we did. She immediately went into the subconscious. We had a beautiful session.
She didn't have a past life or a life on another planet or anything like that.
Nope, there was no past life. As soon as she relaxed, we got the signs that only the practitioners know what those signs are. She immediately went into the somnambulistic state of consciousness. Mm-hmm. At that point in time, she began talking and it told her everything. It told her what she needed to do in school, how she needed to go back to school and do these reports and things like that. What's the word I'm looking for? They wanted her to write papers, papers, and submit them to the principal of the school and the guidance counselors. Long story short, that was January. She has since graduated school. She has a full-time job that she's had since she graduated school. She's off both medications and only down a half on one.
Wow. And she wasn't even going to school, you said.
She had been out of school 8 years prior.
That's
8
amazing.
Years she had been out of school with that first panic attack.
So she had like a panic attack at like age 9, and then the
right.
traditional doctors put her on all of these medications, and she stayed out of school and out of society this whole time, just being medicated.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, what a waste.
Yeah. Well, they actually, in one of her sessions, because she has come 4 times now, because she has a very strong connection, in one of her sessions, they said she needed to be out of society for her to be in elevated states. She has some things going on in communication with, I want to say, highly elevated ascended masters.
Wow.
So in order for her to communicate with them, that she had to be out of school so she wouldn't have any judgment or any, it was like she wouldn't have any of the fears or anything in society.
Sure.
They said she's pure. She was pure now with her mind. And so now she's communicating with them on her own.
That's so interesting. So what that really shows here, doesn't it, Elizabeth, is number one, medicating her wasn't really the right answer for her mind, but maybe the whole situation then is looked at in a different light and is actually part of the plan.
Exactly.
So even things that there's a lot of different levels and layers of what's going on and the ramifications and who makes the choices and I guess there's no accidents.
That's right. Yeah.
I just had a client not too in the recent past who was getting ready to, lay on the bed for the session. And I looked down at the list of medications he was on. And he was on not one, but 2 different antidepressants, some big ones, Lexapro and another one. maybe Prozac or something. And then there's this other drug out there these days that is like a depression, an antidepressant booster. It's like it boosts antidepressant drugs. Hmm. And then he was also on an anti-anxiety pill, Xanax. So he had so many drugs, and I was thinking, and he was very slumped, and he didn't make a whole lot of eye contact. Same thing, kind of like what you said with this gal. And I really wondered about the capacity of being able to reach the mind, mm-hmm. you know, through all of that medication. And it was an absolutely fabulous session. It was perfect and brilliant and beautiful communication. And I want to just say that, you know, we've been talking a little bit about drugs here and about things that Dolores has said, mind altering, etc. For the most part, people who are bipolar or are depressed are absolutely fine candidates for QHHT. What Elizabeth and I were cautioned against by Dolores pretty much were those who had, psychotic kind of issues and who were mm-hmm. who were taking antipsychotic drugs, or people who mm-hmm. were, you know, very profoundly schizophrenic, etc. Those are the types of people that normally are not candidates for QHHT. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah. Yeah, but I want to say also that it's not just having a person come in and just do a session. Mm-hmm. I know from my work that before the person even comes in my room, I've opened sacred space, I've done my prayers. They're walking into a room that is full of white light, and they are held in the arms of the angels and the saints, spirit guides. And so they are in a safe, sacred place in order to do the work. And I'm sure, Candace, that it's not just me doing the work. They're here holding it and guiding it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. How about other sessions?
One other one I want to mention is a gentleman. Yeah. There was a young gentleman who had autism. And when we got to the subconscious, one of his questions was, does my autism come from vaccines? Because he had heard many people say that. And I was pretty amazed at the way the answer came out. The subconscious told him, autism comes from inflammation. Inflammation comes from the vaccines.
Interesting. What kind of session did he have? Was he able to go into a regular past life or whatever? Do you remember the details of the session?
Yes, he is another one that skipped the past lives and went directly into the subconscious. Mm-hmm. And they basically told him, because he was trying to work at a job at a group home, and they told him he needed to stop flipping the hamburgers, because he was one with the mind of a rocket scientist. From that session, his mom started taking him to the library, and she had called me a few weeks later saying he's reading books quicker than she can blink her eye, highly elevated books about engineering and all kinds of things like that. So he's fascinating, absolutely fascinating when I hear this stuff.
That's just amazing. It must be so gratifying to get that kind of call from a mother like that, of somebody whose child, you know, was deemed by society, you know, mm-hmm. to a future that wasn't very bright, and you get to follow him making his dreams come true in a completely different way. That's amazing. Yeah. So even though you found out then that, you know, that the autism was caused by inflammation, which was caused by the vaccines, the subconscious came through and adjusted that or healed that, or what happened there?
Yes. In every session, I ask for a body scan and a healing if it's needed. And many times I'll catch in the corner of my eye in your peripheral vision, it'll look like someone holding, you know, when the little children have sparklers at 4th of July, those little sparklers, you'll get those little glitter sparkles in the corner of the peripheral. Sometimes if you look straight on, you can't see anything, but sometimes you'll see like a light, kind of a clouded shadow or like a mist over the body where they're working. So they do a body scan in every session, and I always ask the subconscious to please tell the client how they can communicate with them when I'm not there. I don't want them to have to come back for every session to just, they have a question for the subconscious. So I will ask them to please give them details of how they can communicate with the subconscious on their own. And they do. They give them full communication with their soul. This brings their power back. And they're, you know, that I really think that this is a big part of the healing session.
You know, Elizabeth, that's probably one of my favorite things about QHHT, just the way that it's set up and its conception by Dolores Cannon, which is basically, you know, having a QHHT session, most clients have just the one. There are some who come back if their practitioner is local, or some who come back for additional explorations for curiosity or deepening, etc. But 95%, 98% of my clients come only one time, just one time. We're not in this work to generate somebody who's needing to come back. Session after session after session after session, which just kind of sets up, you know, a QHHT a facilitator, a practitioner, not in the business of, you know, generating a giant client base that they, you know, that they can continue to have, you know, pay them an income week or month or year after year. It's one time. I've always found that fascinating.
And usually when I'm on the phone with them, I'll say, you won't need another session. not for this issue. If another issue pops up and it's something different, that's that's different. But when the subconscious comes in and it's communicating with them, it's giving them an up-to-date where they've been, where they are, and it also tells them where they're going and how to get there. So even though the client will come with five questions they want answered, I'll get each one of those questions and say, well, okay, can you dig deeper? You know, I want to know more. And even when the subconscious will say, well, you know, no, we can't do that, I was like, well, why? I mean, I'm all about, you know, Dolores, one thing she taught me was to be curious. And don't take no for an answer. Ask more questions. It's okay. You're asking on behalf of the client. The client's in their happy place. You need to dig deeper for them. And it's, I got to say that it's fascinating, and I am honored to be a part of this.
I am so honored as well, Elizabeth. You know what I've done? I set aside my own recording that I had with, Dolores. I had a session with Dolores in 2008. I was the demonstration subject in that class in July in Fayetteville, Arkansas in 2008. And I set aside the session for a while. I hadn't listened to it for a while. And just recently, I re-listened to it a few times because I'm getting ready to actually make it public. I'm going to make a YouTube of it and the first part of it. Particularly, but and in the way that she would approve, I promise. But anyway, and you know, not with any of the induction and etc. But a great part of the past life and then the healing. And one of the things that struck me as I was listening, particularly in the latter part of the session, was how often she would repeat what you know, the subconscious would say, and how she would kind of cajole and encourage and say things like, because we want her to be very healthy, we want her to be happy, we want her, I mean, it was, she was really coaching almost and really going to bat for the client, you know, very much trying to get the most out of the session that she could. And I try to do that with my clients as well, because it's interesting. Haven't you, Elizabeth, at times in sessions you've asked for healings or for adjustment or whatever, and you might get an answer that you didn't quite like, so you kind of try it again in a different way, and sometimes right. you get a different answer. Sometimes exactly. they actually say, well, okay, maybe we can do this.
Yeah, I've had them say, well, all right.
I know, isn't that interesting? I mean, I think that's a fascinating part of, you know, the dialogue about what's going on here between, you know, your role as facilitator and then the client and then these other energies. And there's this interesting dialogue that goes on and kind of a communication and a negotiation thing that happens. And Dolores was just masterful at that.
Mm. Yeah, she's amazing.
You know, you were talking about your last client reading books, and that actually reminded me, you actually wrote a book yourself, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, I wish I could take credit for that, but I was woken up one night and about 3 o'clock in the morning, and it was the Blessed Mother Mary, and she said, we need you to type what you hear. And honest to God, Candace, I thought I was having a stroke. My heart was beating so fast, sweat was pouring down my face, and I tried to wake my husband, he wasn't moving. I tried to move the dog, he wasn't moving. I said, oh crap, I just died. And so, well, she put her hands on my shoulders, and as soon as she touched my shoulders, everything went calm. And she said, now you can touch my garment, because I wanted to touch her. And her outfit was so soft. I will never forget the softness. And to this day, I am still searching for that dress. So she did.
Wait, tell me what it looked like.
Oh my God, it was absolutely beautiful, and it had the round neck, and it was all gathered around the neck, and it was
what
long
color?
Sleeves, and it was pure white. It was pure white, and she had a covering on, like a blanket covering, but it was, that was like muslin, okay, the covering part. The underneath that, the garment itself, or like the dress part, was softer. It was all I can remember is my mom had sheets that were my grandmother's, and they were like a muslin, but it was like a linen, very, very, very soft. And when I got married, she gave them to me, but I put them in the washing machine and they came out shredded. So that's how soft they were.
Well, Elizabeth, now hold on. I have some more questions about this.
Okay.
So were you sitting up in bed? What was this like? Make the scene for me. What's going on
okay.
here?
Well, she just was standing right next to my bed. And then she walked me, I got out of bed, and she walked mm-hmm. me into my office and said, you need to type what you hear. And that's the book, Ancient Wisdom.
And how is it that I haven't gotten that book yet? I need to get this book. So
okay.
why don't you tell me and everybody how we can get this book? Because I need to read
it. The book
this.
Is Ancient Wisdom. And at the time, my husband was still, you know, working and mm-hmm. didn't really tell people what I was doing for a job. So Mother Mary gave me a pen name. So it's written by Elizabeth Rainbow Dancer. Mm-hmm. So it's Ancient Wisdom by Elizabeth Rainbow Dancer. And in the book,
self-publish, or how did you get that out there?
She had me go on the internet and find a publishing company, and I called
wow.
them, and next thing you know, boom, 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 it happened.
Oh my gosh! So who's the publisher of your book?
Balboa Press.
Wonderful.
And the book is kind of like a little mini healer's manual. It gets right down to the nitty gritty, but she really goes into talking about Reiki practitioners at the end. And telling them how to do a session, and because at that time there were some practitioners doing sessions with their eyes closed, and she's like, no, you need to see if your client, how they're breathing. I mean, she went into detail with this. It's a tiny little book packed with information, and in the back, she allows other beings to channel. So Orion comes in and speaks, and so Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So now I've got a personal connection with Orion. So now you're going to have to tell me what that was. And you have something to say about Mary Magdalene here too. So please tell me about both of those things if you would.
Okay. Well, I just typed what I was hearing. That's entirely the book. I wish I could say they were my words, but they're not. Even to the point where I read the book, when I read the book, it was like, who wrote that? So literally heard, I just typed what I heard, and the book was born. It was 2 weeks, because actually I had started writing a book many years before, and that book was of my life story, and that still hasn't been published. I'm still working on that because things keep happening, so I keep adding chapters. But that book is going to be on, that one's called Elizabeth. But the ancient wisdom was literally Mother Mary. Just I could hear her words, and I typed what she said. So, but Mary Magdalene had come, and the Blessed Mother Mary. Oh, absolutely, she's amazing. In the book, Mother Mary tells me to gather the Marys, and she says that Mary meant. The word Mary meant healer back in the day when Mary Magdalene was teaching healing with essential oils in the caves. The Knights Templar would guard her after Jesus passed as she would teach with the oils in the caves, and they guarded her safety. So she guided me to work with Blessed Mary Magdalene, and I began searching for essential oils. And they told me young living oils has the highest vibration of pure oils. So I became a member of Young Living. And now, because of the FDA telling us we can no longer have the ability to tell people what oil to use for what issue, you know, we don't want to cross any of those medical guidelines. So what I do now is I teach people how to douse so they can find the appropriate oil. So it helps the person not only bring back their power, but helps them find the right oil for the right issue. And it also helps solidify their intuition. So Mary Magdalene also guided me to a group, and she had me go to the Dowsers Convention. And I was at the Dowsers Convention, and I met a woman there, Mary Hardy. And Mary Hardy is the head of the Sisterhood of the Emerald Fire. The Sisterhood of the Emerald Fire is a group of women from all over the world who come to go to Michigan and meet with Mary Hardy's group. And they all work with the oils, and they are healers from all over the world. So Mary Hardy invited me there to go teach the women, some of the women, my shaman class. And as a result of that, we are also becoming, here in Rhode Island, we have a group here, and God calls us the Sisterhood of the Marys. So we're going to be linking up with the Sisterhood of the Emerald Fire and become a strong leg of that. So this is a group of healers who work with the oils and working for Mother Earth and all her inhabitants.
So tell me a little bit about the oils. Do you combine them, or you just use them as they are? Or tell me more about how the oils work from your perspective, and some of the things they say.
Essential oils can be used for, well, let's put it this way. Back in the day, if you, many, many, many generations ago, if you went to the king's home, you would find their medicine cabinet with oils, because this is what they had. You know, they had shamans, they had, the shaman was the medicine person, and they worked with the herbs and the oils and the plants. They, everything back to nature. But now we have the Young Living essential oils, and each one has its has different properties, but you have to know your oils. And there are many, many books about them. But like I said, the FDA forbids me now to tell you that, oh, you can use this oil for, you know, sinus infection. But years ago, there were and there's still books out there now. It's just that as a Young Living distributor, I can't identify which oil for what issue. But the people can, you know, there's many, many books out there on it. One of the best ones is Connie and Alan Higley's book, Reference Guide for Essential Oils. There's a lot of essential oil desk references and beautiful, beautiful books. But you can put the oils, you can smell them. You know, if you smell peppermint, will help you with nausea if someone is nauseous.
The FDA may be listening. You better not say okay. that.
I'll take now, that one.
So, you know, I'd actually like to ask about that. Is that directive that you just talked about? I mean, I knew that it was in place, but I mean, is that more recent than not? I mean,
got a letter saying, you know, be careful what you put on your websites. You cannot make reference. But you know what? As a healer, I mean, all of the healers should know this. We cannot make a claim to cure, diagnose, or prescribe. I mean, right. that's a given. When you become a healer, when you do your first Reiki training, your Reiki teacher should tell you that. Mm-hmm. So we stay away from that. So the oils are used in a way where some of them, you mix them and put them in little capsules and you can take them internally. Like, in others, you can just smell it. It will help you. There are some that you can put on your behind your ears, on your chest, and just breathe it in like a Vicks Vapor Rub kind of thing. Mm-hmm. There are different oils for different things. And it's just reading in the books, read the details in the books and douse it out to see what oil for what issue. Mm-hmm. And this is what I'm doing with my students. When they have an issue and they come here, I explain to them that these oils have a vibration that is so high. And Mary Magdalene had explained to me that the oils are alive. And as they are alive, you must connect with them in an energetic sense. And when you connect with them and you can do your dowsing to douse out which oil is best for you, even if you're going to take the oil and you say, oh, okay, I'm going to take 3 capsules a day for 7 to 10 days. Well, mm-hmm. guess what? Before you put it in your mouth, you still need to douse it out. Is it in my best, highest and best interest to take this now? Because your vibration has changed from the moment you wrote that recipe down. Okay, so you want to be accurate on that. As soon as you're ready to take that oil or to work with that oil, you connect with it and ask God, is it in my highest and best interest to do this now? And you're going to get a yes or a no. And this is the best way for anyone to work with any medicines or any herbs or oils or anything. Have a connection because this stuff is alive.
Mm-hmm. So when you say make an energetic connection, can you describe that a little bit? How does one make an energetic connection with anything, in your opinion, teaching?
This is simple. For me, I call it the phone number to God. Like I said, you know.
Hey, write that phone number down. I know
it's 123. It's 123. Number one, you make a connection to the Creator that gave you a breath of life. You can do that by saying, hey, God, it's me. You know, it can be as simple as that. And for me, I just say, hey, God, it's me. And then I just do a Hail Mary and an Our Father. And then I imagine the white light coming down from the heavens because it's that spark of light of creation up above is that spark that created all of creation. So I go to that spark and I imagine that light. And as soon as I imagine grabbing onto that light, it opens the top of my head, my crown chakra. And that light comes in, pours into us from the inside, pours in, and it fills you up like a garden hose on top of your head of light. And it comes in, filling every morsel of your being, every cell of your body. And the excess comes out your feet and your hands. When it comes out your feet, you stream it into the center of the earth. And you plug in the center of the earth. There's a ball of light as bright as that spark of light in the heavens. When you plug in as above, so below, this creates a bubble of protection around you. When you're in that protective field, you have created a sacred space. Now you can have communication with that Creator and ask anything. This is your subconscious. This is your conscious. This is your somnambulistic state. This is your everything. You're in that bubble of protection. So when you ask in that moment, is it going to rain tomorrow? You're going to hear 1, 2, 3 seconds. You're going to have a yes or a no coming in. Second number 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That is all your mind going, oh, what did my sister say? Did I hear that on the news? Okay. But the human brain isn't fast enough to give you information in faster than 3 seconds. So when you get it in 3 seconds, that's God talking to you. That's your energy talking to you or your creator. Okay. Yeah, so with that, you're setting it up.
That's really interesting. You know, some of what you're saying here really harkens back to the QHHT technique itself. And when we talk to clients about allowing the first thing that comes to mind without analyzing it, without saying anything, because it's pure and it's unsullied by the mind. And that's just exactly what you've just kind of described right there.
Absolutely. So when you have the oil, you can hold it at your solar plex when you're in that sacred space. Okay. So I say 1, 2, 3. 1 is connect to God. 2 is fill yourself with the light. And 3 is anchor that light in the earth. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's your 1, 2, 3. Mm-hmm. So then you hold the oil at your solar plex and you ask God, is it in my highest and best interest to use this oil now? Your body's going to lean forward for a yes. And back for a no. Mm-hmm. So it would be beneficial if you be barefoot and facing north when you do that. But the body, you know, the body will give you this swaying motion when you're holding the oil. Some people almost tip over holding that oil there.
You know, it's interesting you should say that, because when I've done that before, I've usually been in my kitchen and I just automatically face north doing that. That's mm-hmm. just really interesting. And you know, when you're talking, you know what else I was thinking, Elizabeth, that, you know, the spark of light and the light kind of coursing through your body, that sort of river of really bright light. You know what I was thinking about? Mm. Welding sparks.
Yes, you know, it all started with the energy of the power plant. No, I used to have my lunch sitting with the generator.
No, I'm now. Are you kidding or are you serious? Was something
in there? I am serious. Tesla was like my best friend.
Well, you know, we've got, you know, just a few minutes left in the show, but I it's kind of a nice wrap up here. Tell me a little bit more about that. So you're having some inklings and some connections with some of the power at the power plant. I'd like to hear a little more about that.
I went down the power plant to take a break. I was in customer service for a little while and I needed a break. I had a little baby and I just needed to get out of the office because all the women in the office, there was so much gossip going on. I said, I've got to get myself out of here. I bid down to the power plant and I was going to maintain the grass, cut the grass and maintain the flowers. I said, I'm going to go down there for the summer because we could bid around. You could bid the jobs working there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when I got down there, I got interested and met the different people. I was like, oh my God, what are you doing? Oh, and mm-hmm. Dennis would take me in the welding shop every day on lunch. And I learned, you know, I was good at it. He said, Lizzie, you're really good at this. He said, he introduced me to a friend of his and I went to West Bay Vocational. His friend was the teacher there. And I mm-hmm. went at night. I went 2.5 years from 6 to 10 at night for five nights a week.
And 2.5 years.
I did. And when the job came up for bid, nobody knew I was certified. Nobody knew I could pass the test. And they laughed at me. The supervisor put a wrench, a screwdriver, and a hammer on the table. And he said, tell me which one's the screwdriver. And I just looked at him and I said, you better give me the test. So he said, all right, you know, it's expensive to send somebody to that testing. And they sent me up to Brayton Point, and it was you had to weld uphill welding, and it was on a 45-degree angle, and then they x-rayed it, and they bent the pipe and to make sure it didn't break and all this stuff. And I passed the test, and I thought I had the job. And they said, call me back in the office, and the supervisor said, well, you know, you passed that test, but the insurance company wants you to be, that was for stick welding, they called it stick, and well, the insurance company now wants you to be certified in TIG welding, which is a different, it's heliac welding where you use two hands. So they didn't know I could do that too. So I said, give me the test. I went back up to Brayton another day, took the test, passed the test, got called back up in the front office again. And the big guy says, you know, Mrs. DeRosa, the insurance company wants us to be certified in stainless. Well, three tests later, when I went back to the shop after that third test, I knew I had passed it. And he called me back in the office again. And I stood up and I grabbed his tie across the desk and I said, don't you dare tell me that I have to take another test, because I had just found out no man before me had ever been tested.
Wow.
So I did pass that test and he said, no, but you've grown a set of kanyokis. And he says, now the guys in the shop won't eat you up and spit you out. You can stand on your own. And that's how I got the job.
That's a really, really great story. It's a great way to kind of wrap up, because that's kind of where we started with you working there, and then your injury and learning about the shaman and getting yourself healed. Well, listen, Elizabeth, tell our listeners how they can get a hold of you. How can they find out about your QHHT practice and your shaman classes and your oils?
Okay, everything that I do is on something called ancientwiz.com. So it's www.ancientwiz.com. And then I have a separate one for QHHT, which is www.QHHT-Elizabeth.com. That's QHHT-Elizabeth.com. And the essential oils is Essential Oils RI, which stands for RhodeIsland.com. So it's EssentialOilsRI.com.
Super. Well, that's really great. You know, I got to spend some wonderful time in France in this summer and learning about Mary Magdalene and about all of the things that she was doing with healing and bringing the word of Jesus to that part of the world after his crucifixion, and it was great to hear about your book and about your gathering of Marys, your sisterhood of Marys, and I can't believe I haven't read your book yet. That's just kind of crazy. I've known you for a long time. I should have read your book by now, but I'm definitely going to get to it. So
I'll definitely send you one. I'll put it in the mail now.
Oh, bless your heart. Bless your heart. So what does the cover look like? How did you choose that part? Did Mary help you with that too?
Yeah, I was doing my morning prayer and they said, look up and get your phone. And I was like, what? And I looked up because I do my prayer in front of a window and the light was coming through the trees. And it's funny you ask about that, because the sun doesn't rise over there.
Amazing.
And it looks like the sun coming through the trees in the morning, and the sun actually comes up on the other side of the house. So it was that kind of, when they did the cover, they wanted to Photoshop that little, there's a little purple thing there. And I said, no, absolutely not.
No, that's part of it. Oh, it belongs there. Thank you so much for that. You know, I'm such a visual person. Well, Elizabeth, we're out of time. I want to thank you so, so much for spending this hour with me talking about all of these different things. I've gotten to learn more about you, and our listeners have as well. And if any of you are on the East Coast and up towards Rhode Island, and you know, that's some place I've never been before. Maybe I can come and visit you someday when you're having
absolutely
a meeting. All right. Well, thank you again. And for any of you all out there who are interested in finding me, you can find information about me and my practice at newearthjourney.com. And I also have another radio show now hosted by n5d.com, and that show is called Quantum Healing with Candace, and you can find that on Facebook or in the n5d.com radio tab. So I want to thank everyone for listening tonight. And have a really good evening. And thanks so much again, Elizabeth.
Oh, thank you, Candace. Thank you, BBS Radio. Thank you.
Bless your heart. Good night, everyone.